This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Mike Valkovsky, a former KUSD school board member, Sammy Rangel, the life technician and executive director of Life After Hate, Steve Brown, a retired professor of educational leadership, and former Kenosha Unified School superintendent, Joe Manji. Now here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Welcome to Education Matters. We are broadcasting on WGTD-FM, Kenosha, Racine, and Elkhorn. I'm your host, Sammy Rangel, also known as the Life Technician, and one of Gateway's very own. Thanks for tuning in. Well, today on my show, we are interviewing Giovanna Gutierrez. It's a pleasure to have her on the show here at the Life Technician and on the Education Matters show. We're going to get into this, but let me introduce her by acknowledging the fact that she is 2021 Woman of Color in Education for UW Parkside and the state of Wisconsin. I'm going to let her talk a little bit more about that award because it is impressive. And I think especially in this day and age, with all the political issues we have faced, with all of the inequality and all of the other kind of BS we have to deal with when we're trying to just make it in this world, to be recognized as a leader at that stature is something that we should celebrate and highlight whenever we can. So, Giovanna, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure. I'm honored to meet you. I'm excited to hear what you have to say today. I know a lot of our listeners at Gateway and at Parkside and all over the country are going to learn from you. Just being transparent, I've just met you and I am impressed. And not that I'm in a position to evaluate, but one can't help but be impressed when they're standing next to greatness. And I think you bring elements of leadership, elements of, I think, of staying the course. You can definitely see that you have strength, you have knowledge and wisdom. And I think what's most impressive about you is that you realize there's enough success to share it with everyone else. So thank you, Giovanna, for being here today.
Thank you. Thank you. Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. And thank you so much for the invitation, Sammy. It is a pleasure for me to be able to engage with your audience today. Thank you.
Yeah. Tell us about this 2021 award. What is this?
So I have, in full transparency, Sammy, this this award actually, so it came to my inbox in the form of a letter that I had been appointed to receive this award. And I was unaware that I had even been nominated for this. And so it was a surprise for me to see and receive notification, that I had been appointed for this award. And after having to look more into this and trying to understand what this award meant, I definitely was taken back a little bit because I came to realize that this isn't just a standard award that gets offered to anyone. And more importantly, it gets offered to people who are making a difference for others within their community, within their campuses. And not only did it mean so much for me to receive that, it was also something that many of people on our campus, as they were finding out of me receiving this award, many of them were able to express, how much they also were shared that sentiment, that I deserved. And so I actually felt amazing finding out, and then everything that came with it just really helped me be able to feel, not only feel, valued and seen by the rest of my colleagues and the rest of my community, but to me personally, it also meant that the work must go on, right? Tienen que continuar. And so we have to continue to be out there, continue to, meet with our community, meet with our students. And so This award is offered through the UW system, and so through the University of Wisconsin system, and it is an award that recognizes successful candidates, women of color, whose contributions have advanced them in the work of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And it recognizes also those who've worked in advocacy or activism, scholarship, social justice, and organizing change. And so those are some of the qualifiers and some of the criteria that they look into when they award this designation. And so it's definitely been, I'm very honored to be recognized by the system and by my institution. And I would say that it's been very, very nice to feel embraced in that matter.
That's amazing. That is a mouthful. And that is, there are some pretty big shoes to fill right there. So are you a student? Do you work at Parkside? I saw that you were close to the dean, or at least one of the deans there. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little about your role. What are you doing out there?
Certainly. And so within Parkside, I'm a Parkside alumni, graduated in 2012, and I obtained my bachelor's within Spanish and history. And right after college, I began working at one of our local museums, actually in Racine. And then from there, I branched off to continue working a little bit into social services. I had an opportunity to work in our community of Lake County. And then through my experiences, it helped me kind of bring me back to my own campus, in which now I've been working at Parkside for a little bit over 4 years. And so I've had a chance to see it from a student's perspective and now from the other side, where I get to engage and interact with many of our students, with many of our amazing faculty. And I do work very closely with the Dean of the College of Social Science and Professional Studies, Dr. Peggy James. And together we are part of a team that coordinates a variety of different programs for our campus. And I feel very happy and honored to be part of such an amazing team, because the work that we do is important and does make a difference for a lot of our students. But I'd like to say that I've invested quite a number of years within Parkside, aside from my employment here, but also as a student. So I'm here for quite some time. And currently I am a program manager, and I work with doing a little bit of outreach, and I assist Dean and Dr. Peggy James.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. And you're just getting started, to say the least. there's a lot there. I think I'm really interested in finding out a little bit more about, you know, about where you're from. Where do you come from? Tell us about what it was like for you growing up here. We want to know.
Certainly.
Who is Giovanna?
For sure. Well, so I am a first-generation Latina. My family immigrated to the United States. I'm actually born in the city of New York. And in New York, my parents were fortunate enough, you know, to be able to raise me in a combination of New York and also Mexico. And so my family, you know, with work, you know, we would, my dad would oftentimes work for certain seasons here in the States, and then we would move back to Mexico. Sometimes it was to the state of Mexico, other times it was to the state of San Luis Potosí. And so through life, you know, and all of its different things that happen, we, you know, found ourselves almost moving every 2 years or so from within the U.S. and then Mexico and then back again. And so along all those years, I definitely, you know, had a chance to be part of many different schools, many different neighborhoods. And I think that definitely created an impact in me in regards to education, because although that transition and although all of those changes can sometimes be, you know, very chaotic and difficult to cope with, I always found school to sort of be like my refuge. That was the one place where I was able to not just learn, but I often have a lot of really great memories with a lot of my educators, a lot of my teachers. And so I tried to make the most of all of my school experiences. And that led to, I have family that had lived here in Wisconsin, and, you know, they invited us over. And this was about 17 years ago now. And we came to check it out, and we decided to stay. And so we've been here now for since then. I finished my high school experience here in Kenosha. And then from there, I was able to actually meet somebody that shared with me a little bit about her plans to go to college. And she was, you know, one of my closest friends. And from there, she was able to kind of take me by the hand, brought me to Parkside. And then from there, I was able to connect with people here that were able to give me the breakdown, you know, what this experience is like. And I've been here since, you know. And so definitely as a first generation Latina, I think my upbringing and certainly impacted a lot of the you know, the characteristics and traits of who I am today with, like I had mentioned earlier, you know, in today's day and age, we have to be able to a lot of times, you know, overcome obstacles, overcome challenges and situations, and find solutions to a lot of things that we didn't know we were going to encounter. And I am, you know, simply a product of my decisions, and I've invested a lot of time and energy into my education and into some of the work and energy that I put out there. So that is a lot of what I focus a lot of my energy on, my career and projects that come and go. So that's a little bit about, you know, the origins of how it all started.
You know, as I'm listening to you, you know, of course I have empathy, right? And so I'm imagining what's it like to be a little kid, make friends, mm-hmm. and then get uprooted, mm-hmm. and then have to start over.
Yeah.
Have to pick up wherever that class is at in that particular school.
What different you language learn. Sometimes. It's
different. You know, that's tough, right? And that's, but I think by now we both know this is not a unique experience. Right. This is something that happens quite often to so many of us, so many different people, regardless of your race or ethnicity. It's a common occurrence, especially because, you know, I think we're also talking about socioeconomic issues that make it difficult. And then, of course, in this day and age, you know, there are a lot of racial tensions we're still fighting for diversity, right? We're still fighting for equity. We're still fighting for inclusion. I'm wondering also what it was like, you know, as you're trying to fit into American society, what's it like for your family as you have that struggle?
Oh, for sure. I think that's still something that still shifts and molds like our identity, right? And like I was that person that definitely I wasn't Mexican enough to be Mexican or white enough to be considered, you know, American. And so it was always that constant battle within your identity to see where do you fit? Because although I did have an opportunity to, like I said, live in Mexico, you try to assimilate the culture. And granted, I do feel very close to my Mexican roots, and I will forever represent that and hold that dear to my heart. But it was more than often that whether it's my classmates or, you know, people around me, they would know that I'm not from here, or that, it's pocha, o habla inglés, you know, she speaks English, or yeah, she's not from here. And so it's kind of like that outsider, you know, identity that you always kind of have to be aware of. And then coming here, of course, you know, in the States, it's challenging because sometimes, like I said, the language barrier was sometimes, you know, difficult because as you're trying to adapt just to a new school, a new place, and you're picking up again the language, things change quick, you know? And so that identity I felt like was always in constant flux, in constant change. And to this day, I think as I dive deeper in my work, I find opportunities and times to refocus some of that energy to find passion in my identity. And then how I can sort of like help others maybe find some of those pieces that may not necessarily know of, And so one of those is, you know, working closely with some of our Latino students. And I find great, great joy in that because I see myself in them. I was also once that student, right, who wanted to continue to be, to learn more about my own culture and not forget where I come from, but also navigate the challenges that deal with being, you know, an immigrant, being a Latina, being, you know, the person of color in the room where everybody else is not, right? And so it's I think it's a daily issue that we often are faced with.
As I think about who listens to our show, the issue of identity is crucial, right? It's critical because that is an issue that is often created by class. That is an issue created by your demographic region of where you're from, or where you live, how much money you make or don't make, or your parents make or don't make. And as you said, being stuck in all these different worlds and not actually feeling like you fit in. I remember when I first went my very first semester, my first class of college, I had doubts of, will they accept me? Do I belong here? What am I doing here? Will I accept them? You know, what if they knew about me and where I came from? How would I be perceived? You know, is that a barrier? You know, I had all these doubts. And I also was concerned to a degree how my family would look at me, knowing that I was taking this path. And I'd like to know, are you the first one going to college in your family, you know, are you the first one, like, really professionalized, you know? So, yeah. Yes, you are, right? And so it's like doing something for the first time in a family isn't always well received because it changes, I think, as a social worker and, you know, having done a lot of counseling and therapy as a professional and personally, I think when you do something so dramatically good as go to college, that it makes everyone else in the family system think about what they've done, and then they compare to what you're doing, and it can raise all kind of different mixed emotions for people, right? And while we were talking, while we were pregame a little bit, getting ready for the interview, right, we were talking about how my family used to make it seem like I was doing something wrong by going to college, and they would put me down or criticize me or make me feel like I was stuck up or, you know, trying to, and they would say a lot of things, you know, like trying to be something that I'm not, you know. And how did you stay the course? What does a young child, a young adult, you know, trying to find identity, do and have to say to stay the course? What did you do?
Yeah, well, being a first generation, I mean, it definitely carries its weight with a lot of firsts, right? Whether you're the first one to, even beyond just continuing to post-secondary education, but like the first one to even think about investing in your education, in my household, at least, when we were talking about investment, it wasn't really necessarily talking about investment on your education, but like, what can we do to invest, whether we're opening up a business, right? Or whether we're opening something that's going to generate more income. And so I think within my family, I can only speak on my experience, it definitely, I was the first one to look into that and say, okay, well, you know, I think I want to pursue this. I want to go into college. And I'll tell you that the very first thing, you know, my dad said when I told him that was he literally wanted to know how much is it going to cost, you know, because it just comes with the territory, right? We don't know what we don't know. And so it definitely was a very eye-opening experience, not just for us to navigate the process, but I think too, like years later, and definitely like now that I have a much better understanding, like I'm surprised I didn't like stop at any point because I would have been overwhelmed, or because I would have like maybe like felt sorry for myself that I didn't know. But like I was just we managed to make it happen, and I think that, you know, everything happens for a reason, whether it's I met somebody that, you know, walked me through the process, or I heard from somebody that they had done this. I think I do consider myself to be a resilient person. And so if this is something that I was, you know, well, I'm going to, you know, focus on this and, you know, go all the way to see how I can make this happen. We will ask questions. That's definitely one thing that I've never been afraid of. I am that, you know, child that had to help my mom to fill out, you know, the papers for the WIC to be able to get food stamps, or for us to get to the Medicare, or Mija, what does it say here? You know, it's like, okay, let's see. Or, you know, I'll ask, you know, no me da pena. Like, I'll be the one that's, you know, out there asking the questions. A lot of times it was, what are the questions? What are the right questions that I need to be asking? And so that's the part that was hard. And so to some degree, we had a little bit of experience navigating other tricky situations like that. But being confronted with this, it was just another one of those tricky processes that we had to figure out one way or another.
I think you touch on two really critical points here for our listeners, and it moved me. One, resiliency. We are all stronger than we are led to believe, and that we believe among ourselves, right? And it's unfortunate that we have to discover that from a very, very, very young age. But when you look at what the average person has to survive to get to college, right? Just whatever your life was like before you knocked on those doors, like the fact that you made it through that life with all those moves and all that geographic change and all that cultural shifting and competition and uncertainty, that speaks to resiliency. And our people are strong. People who have to overcome that kind of life are strong, but we're so busy being strong, we don't often recognize how strong we are. We're not led to believe that, right?
Somebody tell me something that stuck with me. And like, since then, like, I've repeated it multiple times, because like, to me, it had a huge impact, and maybe for others, it had also an impact. But yes, like resiliency, like that, like on the topic of resiliency, like our families, like, emigrated to this country. They gave up so much. They left behind their own dreams to pursue an opportunity. And we have to go out of our ways to really make it worth it for them to have given all of that up. Like, we have to be able to get out there, be resilient, be strong, and be willing, right, to take those chances so that we can make their sacrifice worth it. Otherwise, like, what's the point?
If you are just tuning in, I'm Sammy Rangel, also known as the Life Technician. And if you've been tuned in, thanks for sticking around. This is Education Matters on WGTD FM.
And I'm on the other side of that, because my family did not do that for me. My family was not a part of my team. And I think where I resonate with you is that we're thinking about what's next, mm-hmm. not what's just happened, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, what's next was knowing that I needed to change things for my family, or nobody would.
Yeah.
Right. At least not in my, I didn't see it. I didn't see. And I'm, you know, I think that's a part of the natural resiliency and leadership. You know, we start to realize things like what you're saying, which, what does the future look like and what's it going to be built on? And for you, it was your family made these sacrifices for you, and you want to show them that it was worth it to you. And for me, I recognize that while we may not be getting a fair shot in life, we can certainly make it easier for the next person coming behind us, you know,
yeah.
Our nieces, our nephews, our brothers, our sisters, right? Like,
oh, for sure.
Our neighbors.
This is generational. This change, these decisions, these different,
multi-generational.
It's multi-generational. So, I mean, this is meant to actually create that impact across. It's not meant to just, start here and die here.
No. So what did you go to school for? What was your education path? What did you take up?
So initially, when I came into Parkside, I was, and so I pursued right off the bat a degree within Spanish, and I wanted to dive into teacher education. And so my goal right off the bat is like, well, you know what, maybe, you know, I'll be a teacher. Mm-hmm. I began my first years working my way towards starting off and beginning my intro level courses. But here at Parkside, at that time they had gone through a bit of a restructure, and then the teacher education program was no longer available. And so I was confronted with another sort of difficult decision to make, whether, you know, I pursue a different program or if I was going to then look for another institution that maybe had a teaching program, right? And so I had already, you know, been able to get connected here with a lot of our my different clubs and organizations within the campus. There were so many different things that I was like, this is where I want to be, you know. And so I found an alternate program because I had already also put in some credits towards my degree within the arts. And so I had taken some courses within graphic design, art history, and history was also, that was another subject that I was, you know, a huge fan of. And so I continued pushing, and then I actually got my degree within that, within the arts, and then history and Spanish. And so that's how I was able to continue on with my work at the Racine Art Museum. And so I was working there for about a year and continued in that field, and worked in that role. I had a chance to work a little bit more with the community who wanted to, you know, visit the museum, or whether we had programs that were open to the community. And it was that interaction with the community that really helped me see, you know what, I think I need to find a different opportunity that puts me more in direct contact with the people. And that sort of like interaction is what led to then ultimately moving on to a different opportunity. So that's how I landed in Waukegan, working in Lake County, where I was working with the community more directly with students. And so unintentionally, it put me in a classroom setting almost with students. And so it, like I said, you know, destiny just has a weird way of working things out one way or another. I think I was meant to be in working related with students and having a little bit of that impact on them in that aspect.
I want to dive a little deeper into what your opinion of what does it mean for someone to have access to higher education?
So I think access starts with even like knowing what an educational institution is meant to do, like how it serves its community, the role that it plays, right, within its society. And as far as access, I always think about like how, you know, what access looked like for me as a student, like when I was thinking about, you know, going to college, what was it that I knew and what was it that I didn't know that knowing now I wish I knew so that I could have taken advantage more, you know. Mm-hmm. When it comes to access is what's out there basically that's available to us that we just don't know about, that we don't know about. And I think all it takes sometimes is for you to meet that one person that's going to like walk you through it. Right. Cause I had the opportunity to meet a couple of people once I got here, but I always think back like, man, if I would have never like gotten here or met that one person that like literally brought me here, I don't know that I would be standing in these same shoes.
Well, I would say I agree with that 100%, but also it's important that you expose yourself to those new experiences, right? Like you have to take the risk to put yourself next to that.
No, that's not for me. Yeah. Cause I could have just said, that's not for me. I could see myself doing that. Right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And you have to approach it. Yeah. You have to approach it with that like open mind, right? You have to think about what ifs, you know, it's true.
So I think there's two other things real quick here. Not only do you represent women, you also represent women who have, you know, who have a different ethnicity or a different culture behind them. As a social worker, I recognize that, first of all, you have to struggle just as a woman to gain access to the same liberties, the same freedoms, the same education, the same job opportunities. But then you also add the fact that, you know, you have a rich culture that is not always accepted in this country or in this world. You know, I want to acknowledge you for that. And I want to say, I think that you are a shining example of the kind of determination that we all need to like absorb and hold on to in order to achieve, because there's so many things already trying to stop you aside from your own willpower to get here, right? Your own drive. There's so much already, the system is working hard to stop progress. And yet here you are, and I want our listeners, and whether you're a woman or a man listening to this, that's inspiring. That's inspiring. And on that note, I wanna ask you to give us a little bit of your wisdom, because here is my question to you that I hope is well received. What is the best human experience you can imagine for yourself right now?
The best human experience that I can imagine for myself.
Yeah.
I think it goes a little bit into giving ourselves the opportunity and I think advocating for ourselves. I think it starts with advocating for ourselves and knowing our worth and saying, you know, we belong, we deserve this opportunity. And so I think if we start with acknowledging and recognizing that we are worthy of an opportunity and that we are deserving of that opportunity, that in itself can pave a way for us to, open up new horizons, meet people, have connections, have, you know, opportunities to share about yourself, right? And it's that human interaction component. It's all about relationship building too, right? Being able to connect with somebody, empathize with them, being able to listen to them. That's such key, I think, and that's really something that, I think could really help us as a community to better embrace and to better relate, to celebrate each other. You know, it's just, there's a lot of elements. It's such a loaded question, and it's definitely, one that I don't think I often get confronted with, and it definitely is. It's making me think even more. Yeah.
Well, I'm not done because I got one more for you.
let's do it.
We're gonna build. I want to build on that, and I want to just kind of summarize a little bit. You've touched on two critical components today: identity. You raised that. That was one of those flaring moments where the fireworks went off in the sky and flared out. You said identity, and that's a huge, huge issue and subject right there. And right now you just connected that with self-worth. Mm-hmm. You said, got to see that we're worthy. We got to see that we deserve it. Mm-hmm. And if you listen to any of my podcasts, you know, moving forward, or you listen to my TED Talk, that was both of those were major hurdles for me, like to the trauma attached to identity, the trauma attached to self-worth, right? The damage that had been done to that by others and by myself, right? You are nailing all the critical points that it's the human experience, right? My question to you, so I hear your philosophy on that, but what inspires the best part of you to come out?
Well, I'd say the great part of it is my family, right? And my family inspires me a lot. Whether I am a person that can help them in any shape, way, or form that I can, I feel like I am in debt to them for, like I said, the opportunities that they've help me with. And a lot of it is sort of like, it was never, you know, clearly laid out to say, we are going back to the U.S. for an education for you. It was more so like, hey, we're going, you might have a better education, or you might have access to more opportunities. And it was done. Like, I wasn't like asked, you know? And so it's just a lot. My family plays a huge role of inspiration. I feel like I do a lot of it for them. My team, you know, the people that I shoot bat for, and be able to, you know, always on the back of my head, like, why is it that I do what I do? I want to be able to be there for them, you know, and I think it's sort of what drives me. It's sort of what drives. Yeah.
Well, as we get ready to wrap this up, I think I would summarize it with three words, and it's wow, wow, and wow. Like, you are truly a leader in your own right now, but I can see that you're also up and coming, right? If this is where you stopped, you're good. But you can clearly see you're not satisfied with it, and you're not set on stopping here. This is a part of your launch, right? This is a part of what's next for you. And I want to keep an eye on that. I want to watch where you go next, because it's inspiring.
We have a lot of work to do. There's a lot of work to go around, and we definitely, I think the work that we do is important and it's meaningful. So I do take it upon myself to try to share that work around.
That's right. That's right. You know, you talked about advocating for yourself. You talked about identity. You talked about self-worth. You said what inspires you is your family. And I'm just going to go right back to what you said, which is, you know, for what it's worth, you are worthy. You do deserve this. You have worked so hard. You've overcome so much to be here. I think our listeners are going to be moved and inspired by your strength and your commitment and your resiliency. You're a shining reminder of what we have inside of us, right? The power and the strength that we have, if we can get past all the illusions and all the forces that seem to always make it hard to get where we're at. And I know, you know, you're making it look easy right now, but I can't imagine the amount of work you have to put into to be where you're at, and knowing that you just got to stay the course. For me, and on behalf of our listeners, Giovanna, it's been a real pleasure and real inspiring to listen to you and your perspectives. And honestly, I think they nailed it with this 2021 award. They couldn't have picked a better person to represent, not only as a human being, but a woman, and not only as a woman, but a woman of color in education and in leadership. Any last words for our audience? What if our audience wants to connect with you? Are you open to that? Where should they find you?
Sure. I mean, I first like to say thank you. Thank you so much. Like I said, I'm humbled by your words, and humbled by the opportunity to be able to meet you and engage with your audience. We do have through the university and through some of the work that me and my colleagues drive, we have a variety of different ways that we reach out to our community. One of them, like I said, goes directly within the College of Social Science and Professional Studies. We do have social media platforms. So through UW Parkside and the College of Social Science and Professional Studies, that's one way to stay connected to the work that we drive. I do work with a couple of committees and groups, and we have a couple of projects, such as a podcast as well, through it's called Parkside Presente, where I engage with our Spanish-speaking community. There's a couple of efforts and projects happening throughout our community to capture some of the narratives and stories about our community and the roots that are established here in the state of Wisconsin. So there isn't directly one source and place that you can reach out to me. I am on social media under Giovanna Izanami Gutierrez. And so if that's one way that you want to reach out, you're more than welcome to do so. But you can always also reach out through our university and be able to find me there.
Well, thank you again, Giovanna. And I can't wait to see what you're doing next. So we'll all talk soon. This has been an amazing interview, very powerful interview. More to come in the future. So
for sure. Thank you so much.
What a great person. What a great interview. One of the takeaways I get from the interview with Giovanna that I think kept coming up over and over again during the podcast was resiliency, gratitude, capitalizing on every opportunity ahead of us, creating your own opportunities when necessary, and thinking about community in a forward way, thinking about those generations to come.
I think it was very inspiring, and I want to congratulate Giovanna on all her accomplishments and much-deserved award. We wish her all the best. Thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to Education Matters here at WGTD-FM. I'm Sammy Rangel, the Life Technician. Follow me at SammyRangel.com and on all your social media.
Hey, Gateway listeners, just a quick note. If you want to be a guest on my show and you feel that you have an interesting topic or even an event or an idea or a thought that you want to share, reach out to me. You can find me at Sammy@thelifetechnician.org, or you can go to SammyRangel.com. Send me a message through the website and I'll get it. On Education Matters, we're trying to talk about issues that relate to our students and the people that go to our school. We all know the ups, the downs, the struggles, how hard it was to get here, how great it is to be here. We want to hear from you. And if you have any ideas, even if you don't want to be on the show, send them over. We'll see what we can do to get them on the air. Thank you. And Happy New Year.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org. You're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
Jazz, swing, blues, bop, and more is available 24 hours a day on your desktop, laptop, smartphone, or radio. To access 24/7 Jazz WGTD on your computer, go to WGTD.org, where you can listen live, online, 24 hours a day. On your smartphone, download the free WGTD app. In the Kenosha Racine area, 24/7 Jazz WGTD HD2 is available via HD radio. For more information, call 262-564-3030.
Support for WGTD comes from the Racine Theater Guild, presenting Nonsense, January 14th through the 23rd. A group of singing and dancing nuns must throw together a haphazard variety show to help save their convent. For tickets and showtimes, visit racinetheater.org.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, Kenosha County is taking online orders for Spring 2022 Trees. Items are sold on a first-come, first-served basis. Pickup date is in late April at the Kenosha County Center in Bristol. KenoshaCounty.org/trees. From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, the American Red Cross urges individuals who are healthy to make an appointment to donate blood. More donors, especially those with type O blood, are needed now, so patients have life-saving blood products for emergencies and everyday medical treatments. RedCrossBlood.org. Support comes from the Kenosha County Aging and Disability Resource Center. Free classes on improving your health and well-being for caregivers and persons living with diabetes are offered in English and Spanish. Learn more today. Call 262-605-6646. WGTD-FM is now available on your smart speaker. Simply say, play WGTD on TuneIn and hear WGTD programming. 24/7 Jazz is also available. Simply ask, play WGTD HD2 on TuneIn.
Jazz, swing, blues, bop, and more is available 24 hours a day on your desktop, laptop, smartphone, or radio. To access 24/7 Jazz WGTD on your computer, go to WGTD.org, where you can listen live, online, 24 hours a day. On your smartphone, download the free WGTD app. In the Kenosha Racine area, 24/7 Jazz WGTD HD2 is available via HD radio. For more information, call 262-564-3030.
This is WGTD HD, Kenosha.